Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Ve Abbasi Halife Mansur had seen Malakul Maut in his dream, and he asked him, like any one of us would have asked, if we saw Malakul Maut, then there's going to be one genuine question that all of us will ask. Is my time up or not? Have you come to fetch me? That will be the obvious question. And there were those that had seen Malakul Maut, and their response was, now you came now, now do your job and go now. They were in such a state of readiness. You came now, so you do your job. Malakul Maut would say that I haven't come for that. I've just come to befriend you. That at that time when I have to take you, then you may come with me smoothly without any panic, without any fear. So Malakul Maut actually befriends the person. And there are those that try to escape. So you get both these scenarios. And this Khalifa Mansur asks, and when is my death? So Malakul Maut just pointed to the five fingers. Now he made it more complicated. The Khalifa, he inquires, what is the meaning of this dream? Someone said 5 months, someone said 5 years, someone said 5 weeks, someone said 5 days. Everybody is speculating, five. Until it was brought to Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. So Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi says that, see, these are the knowledge of those five things that the Quran Sharif says Allah Ta'ala has kept to himself. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ إِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ. There's knowledge of certain things that are very much confined and restricted. Allah Pak hasn't revealed it, hasn't divulged this knowledge. There's many things of the ghaib that Allah Ta'ala hasn't divulged. We need to understand that when we say ghaib, what do we mean by ghaib? Just translating it, translating as unseen is incorrect. Because there may be many things that you didn't see and I saw. So you can't say that's the knowledge of the unseen. Or many of things you've seen and I didn't see. So you can't say that that's the unseen. When you talk of the ghaib, you talk of that knowledge that is not perceivable by our minds and our faculties. We can't perceive it. Some knowledge that we can perceive either with our eyes or with some instrument, telescope or something, we can perceive it, right? So we don't call that the knowledge of the unseen. Knowledge of the unseen is that which is not perceivable with any of our senses, no matter what we try, but we can't perceive that knowledge. Like Jannat and Jahannam, can we perceive it with our eyes? With any of our senses, can we perceive that? We can't. Like what's happening in the grave, can we perceive it with any of our senses? Can't perceive it. Like Malaika, do we perceive them? We don't. In fact, we believe in the Nabi. There's two dimensions of the Nabi, right? One is the Nabi coming to us. So we have seen the Nabi. But the Nabi being a Nabi, we haven't seen. Wahi had come to him and announced his Nubuwwat, right? That aspect of the Nubuwwat, nobody seen. So that is unseen. We're believing in the Nabi, and this is part of the belief of the unseen. Well, he's come to us, and he's delivered the message of Allah Ta'ala that we believed. And there were those that seen the Nabi, right? But there wasn't a person who saw the Nabi, how he became a Nabi. The appointment of the Nubuwwat they didn't see. So that was unseen, was not seen by the naked eye. That is where the Bani Israel went off the Bani Israel, they wanted to hear the word of Allah Ta'ala directly. So Musa alayhi salam took them, and they had heard the word of Allah Ta'ala directly. Right? And then they say to Musa alayhi salam, لَن نُؤْمِنَ لَكَ حَتَّى نَرَى اللَّهَ جَهْرَةً. They heard the word of Allah Ta'ala directly, but they were obstinate, they were stubborn on accepting. They heard it direct. Imagine the word of Allah Ta'ala, and they heard it direct. But then they say, we're not prepared. So this is what is referred to. سَلْ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ كَمْ آتَيْنَاهُمْ مِنْ آيَةٍ بَيِّنَةٍ. So many open miracles they had seen. Generally when the Quran Sharif says ayat, then generally it refers to miracles. Not all the time, but most of the time it refers to miracles. So many miracles they had seen. They had seen them crossing through the ocean giving a path and drowning Fir'aun and his forces. Yet, then when they pass this, then they say, اِجْعَلْ لَنَا آلِهَةً كَمَا لَهُمْ آلِهَةً. Give us some gods, some idols that we can worship. They've seen this miracle, but then they ask this type of stupid things. So the knowledge of the unseen, we need to understand. Now this is something that is exclusive with Allah Ta'ala. Right? Like omnipresence is the exclusivity of Allah Ta'ala. He is the only one that is omnipresent. Right? And in fact, when we say that any other person is omnipresent, then we're not honoring him. We are dishonoring that person. On the one end, we believe in Mi'raj, right? That there was that night, 27th of Shaban, and Rasulullah was taken to Masjid al-Aqsa, and from Masjid al-Aqsa to the seven heavens, and then back from the seven heavens down to the earth. So we hear about the Mi'raj, right? And whatever happened, he had seen Jannat and Jahannam with his eyes, performed namaz with all the Anbiya alayhi salam, met all the different respective Anbiya on the different heavens. Believe in all that. Now when we believe in that, that means we can't be believing in omnipresence if we believe in Mi'raj. Because omnipresence means that his presence or presence is everywhere. So even he was present, then where does the Mi'raj feature? He was already present. So you have to believe that he wasn't omnipresent. For you to believe in Mi'raj, you have to believe that he is not omnipresent. Otherwise, you're not believing in Mi'raj. Now, that is our faith, that there was a thing like Mi'raj. The Nabi was ascended. Right? So, sometimes when we try and reason with our own minds, then we really don't show respect to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Rather, we move away the respect. The respect that we're supposed to be giving and honoring, we move away the respect. We talk of Mi'raj, right? We talk of the Hijrat. Don't we talk of the Hijrat? And how Rasulullah had taken refuge in the cave, right? Ghar al-Thawr. And then from there, how he had gone to Medina Munawara and en route, someone tried to pursue Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and how he was sunk into the earth, right? And then Rasulullah had made dua, and he had come up again. And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, alright, you will be wearing the bracelets of Kisra. Which sahaba was this? Suraqa ibn Ja'sham, Suraqa ibn Malik. So now, on the one end you say, we believe in Hijrat. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had migrated from Makkah Mukarrama to Medina Munawara. Then we say he was omnipresent. Now, if he was present already in Medina, then what was the need for him to migrate? So you confuse yourself and you confuse a whole lot of people. But Islam is simple to understand. It is not a difficult thing like Christianity, right? Christianity is difficult to understand because you have to believe one is three and three is one. Now, that's a very complicated thing now. If you say one is three and three is one, I'm owing you 3 million rand, I give you 1 million rand. So I must say that one is three. So I paid you three, now finished, what are you asking for? One is equal to three. So if I paid you one, then I paid you three. But that's a complicated thing. Islam, taraktukum ala tariqatin bayda. We left you on a path, smooth, clear. Layluha wa naharuha sawa. Everything is absolutely clear. There's no ambiguity in Islam. So, when you believe in the Hijrat, Rasulullah moving on to Medina Munawwara, then we must believe that he wasn't in Medina and he moved on to Medina Munawwara. So we're talking of the ghaib, right? So this ghaib, this omnipresence, etc. We need to understand what we are talking. We say that on that occasion, the Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had seen Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. That is the popular belief, right? There is another opinion as well, but this is the popular belief that he had seen Allah Ta'ala. Now on the one end you say, on that night he saw Allah Ta'ala. Then you say that he was omnipresent. He was present, then he was seeing Allah Ta'ala all the time. See now how you complain, how complicate, confuse people. So, beliefs, leave it as Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us. When he had announced to us, La a'lamul ghaib, that I don't understand the unseen, I don't have that knowledge, right? That means he is not present everywhere. If he was present everywhere, he had the seen knowledge of everything. So, the way he has presented it to us, we just receive it like that. And he has announced, La a'lamul ghaib, I don't have the knowledge of the unseen. Just leave it. Just cut it off there. Don't use your mind beyond that. Beyond that, don't use your mind. This is what was passed on to us and came from the Sahaba Ikram right till now. And this faked up and forged up thing is it's someone's brainchild. He made it, he faked it up. He faked it up and then he marketed it. And then people with shallow intelligence, they went and purchased this thing. They went and bought this thing. So this Khalifa Mansur, he asks Malakul Maut, what is this? He asks, when is my time? And Malakul Maut points. Nobody knows what is the meaning of the dream until it's brought to Imam Abu Hanifa Rahmatullahi. And Imam Sabah says that no. What this refers to, the five knowledges that are exclusive with Allah Ta'ala. There's many things that are exclusive with Allah Ta'ala. Many types of knowledge are exclusive. People are very curious to know about these five things. Any person, and you will find that he is very curious. So, the Quran has cut off your curiosity, but now don't pry into this because you're not going to get anywhere. You're going to be going into futility now. Because we're telling you, but you got no access to this. When you got absolutely no access to it, so you don't get into this. That is now our domain, and nobody can cross our domain. It's our domain, we protected the thing. When we protected it, you can't get into this. So the thing people want to know is Qiyamah. When is Qiyamah? So the Quran Sharif said it clearly, in Allah, in the Hu ilmu sa'a. It is with Allah Ta'ala alone. Allah Pak didn't share this knowledge with anybody. In the Hu ilmu sa'a. He didn't share this knowledge with anybody. And there is a lot of wisdom that Allah Ta'ala did not share the knowledge of Qiyamah. He didn't share the knowledge of death. The knowledge of death, he didn't share it with anybody. The knowledge of Qiyamah, he didn't share with anybody. He didn't disclose it. He didn't divulge it to anybody. And I say there's a lot of wisdom in this. When he didn't disclose it to anybody, right? The wisdom in this is, if I were to tell, for example, you know, you got just 2 days left to live, you got 2 years, you got one month, and you got 4 years to live. I ask you, will life on earth be comfortable and happy? Yeah, I just got 2 months. I got only 1 year. So life becomes quite miserable, it becomes difficult to manage. Right? He can't manage his affairs because he knows there's just only 1 month left now, or 1 day left, or 1 year left, 2 years left. In the meanwhile, he's got responsibilities. He's got a wife, he's got a child, he's got dependents, and he has to see to them. He'll become so consumed in this concern that he will neglect them. So now, there is a need for him to take care of them and prepare for death. But if he's going to get consumed with one, then he will neglect his other responsibilities. So Allah Ta'ala kept this away. He kept it away totally. You're not going to get any knowledge about this. The other thing is this, that the other thing that comes to mind, Allah kept it to himself, is when that knowledge is not shared with anybody, everybody is in a state of readiness. But I don't know when my time is coming. When my time is coming. You don't know when your time, I don't know when it's my time. So nobody knows when whose time is coming up. So he's left in that lurch, he's left in suspense. Right. And sometimes you look at it, suspense is the joy of life. You know? The joy of life is in suspense. If there's no suspense, there's no joy. Right. If Allah Ta'ala told you, all right, you know, for your whole life, you were supposed to get 5 million rands, right? They will take your 5 million rand. You're going to eat this much, all that. Told you the whole itinerary, where you're going to get it from. I ask you, is there any suspense in that? There's no suspense. Right? But now he left it in suspense. Oh, you know, you have to go and study. Then you'll have to become a doctor. Or you'll have to open up a business. And then that business must be done very well. And you have to market your things very well. Go to China, get your stuffs. See what is selling, what is not selling, and improve the business day by day. The more you market it, the more you serve your business, the business will serve you. So now, you're doing all these things, you're in suspense. And in suspense now, you're getting your rosy. So there is some enjoyment, there is some fulfillment. But everything is shown to you, then there is no suspense. Right? You want a child, Allah Pak just rein the child straight away, this is your child. You want him to grow up, he just grew up like that. Is there any suspense left? No suspense. So the suspense is the joy of life, right? We're sitting in Etikaf right now. Everybody's counting how many 2 days, right? Are you left in suspense? Huh? You're left in suspense, right? Someone getting married now? Hey, 2 days for marriage now. 3 days. 1 day, then he's counting 24 hours, 20 hours. So isn't there some suspense? So the suspense really is the joy of life. So he left, Allah Pak left this totally in suspense, make this life a little bit enjoyable for you. But on your side, it's enjoyable, but you have to be in preparedness, in readiness as well. I don't know when it's coming, tomorrow, today, next year, 10 years, 5 years, 4 years. When it's coming, we don't know. So this information Allah Pak has kept away. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ السَّاعَ. Nobody knows about it. It's so tight Allah Pak has kept it. He hasn't disclosed that knowledge of the unseen. Some thieves, they came to rob one house, right? So they thought there's 2 sections to the house. The section that we want to rob, the inmates of the house are sleeping. So we'll gently move them, carry their charpais. India, the beds are very light to carry. So carry the charpais with the people sleeping. They fast asleep, so they won't notice we moving their charpais. So we'll move them to the next section. And after we move them, then we'll do our job. Whatever we want to steal and rob the house off, we'll rob it. So they moved about the 10 beds, they moved it on the other section, and they started the work. Now, that whole building caved in. The building caved in. All those rogues, all those robbers, all died. Finished one shot. Those inmates of the house, they got up and they said, hey, what happened? The whole house caved in. We were sleeping on this end and then we woke up on this end here. Allah Pak must have sent some malaika to save us. Now when they unearthed the whole place, they found this was the malaika. But now, you see, nobody could say that this earth, this house is going to cave in, is going to fall into them. Nobody could say that until that moment. So this knowledge of the unseen Allah Pak, it's exclusive with Allah Ta'ala. Even the weather forecast, they can't be exact, they can't be precise. The mistakes go so much, so bad, that they say that the chances for them being right is about 50 or 40%. 60% wrong, 50% right. 40% right, 60% wrong. So that's why they say, if your child is a failure, then put him on the weather forecast. Got a big chance to win. Such a big discrepancy. But even if it will come right. They'll give stories. The tornado is coming. It just came here and it took a curve, took a turn. Don't they make this type of stories? So you can't predict these things. This is Allah's knowledge. He controls it. He kept it to himself. Who's going to get the rain? Who's going to get the wind? What's going to be the extent of the damage? What is going to be the speed and the velocity? That's total exclusive with Allah Ta'ala. So don't you pry into this. You're going to be wasting your time. Wasting your time, other people's time. And you'll feel miserable. Oh, I predicted this and then this didn't happen. إِنَّ اللَّهَ إِنْدَهُ إِلْمُ السَّاعَ وَيُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثِ. The same with the rain, right? So you may say the weather forecast saying it's going to rain, and it rained, right? Right. It's not their prediction. It's not their prediction. They saw some symptoms, some signs, and they said, it's going to rain. Like you see a woman, right, her stomach is bulging. So you say, if someone knows about all this, they'll say she's pregnant. So you cannot say it was a prediction. So from the signs you made out, right, that she's got one child or she's got a twin, whatever. So you don't say that this was a prediction. It was the sign from the signs you made out that this woman is pregnant. Or you see clouds, right? Heavy, dark clouds, and you say it's going to rain. So you don't say it's a prediction. Say, I predicted and the rain came. It wasn't a prediction. You saw the signs already, and then the rain came, number one. Number two is this. You may see those dark clouds, and you may also say that it's rain. But the extent of the rain, you can't say. Whether it's going to be a beneficial rain or a damaging rain, you cannot say. And which areas it's going to cover, you don't say. So you don't have the knowledge. You don't know the extent of the rain, whether it's beneficial or not. And you don't know which area, which domain is going to cover. You don't know that. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عِنْدَهُ إِلْمُ السَّاعَ وَيُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثِ. What you know is some signs and some symptoms. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَمِ. Like the rain, right, those, as though those clouds are impregnated, right, with water. Same is the womb of the mother. She is also pregnant, right? So from the signs you say it's going to rain, from the signs you can say that she's pregnant, she's got one or two children, you can say that, right? But all the details of the pregnancy, does anybody have all exact from the time of conception to delivery? Anybody, any scientist or the scientist's grandfather, anybody can show from the time of conception right till the date of delivery, every detail that this child is going to be intelligent, these are going to be his features, he's going to live, he's going to be a sickly person or healthy person, this is going to be the approximate height, this is going to be a feature of the whole of the face, nose, etc. He'll be righteous or he'll be an evil person, he will live long, he will die early. I ask you, do you have the detailed knowledge? You don't have. And you have the knowledge of every creation, from the time of conception right till death, or right till delivery. Do you have the knowledge? Nobody has it. So, وَيُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثِ وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ. So that knowledge also is with Allah Ta'ala. Exclusive. They may say, all right, scanning machine, it's a boy or girl or something. Just now, there was one friend that came. He had a twin, right? So now I took it for the scanning and all that, but they couldn't show the other child. One they showed, it's a boy. But the other one, they could not say this scanning, the latest. But they couldn't point out what was the gender of the next child. Because the child was all cuddled up. Very much cuddled up. So I told him, it must be a Muslim girl. Because she was too ashamed, so she was cuddled up. Right? Must be a Muslim, can't be a non-Muslim. Other Muslims, they show out everything. Right? Must be a Muslim girl. It turned out a girl, alhamdulillah. See, uski ghutti mein rakhi hai sharam o haya, Musliman ke bacche ke ghutte mein rakhe hue. They got the shame. It's within the temperament. You know, you moved out shame from the child, from Muslim. It's not a Muslim any longer. Shame is such an integral part. Shame, modesty. It is the makeup of the Muslim. The beauty isn't that shame and modesty. And the moment that modesty and shame goes away, then there is no beauty left. It's gone, finished. There's absolutely nothing left. The beauty is in the shame. It's in the modesty. If diamonds were thrown everywhere, do you think it would have the worth? It's so precious that Kohinoor, to go and see it, you have to pay. And then when you go and see the thing also, they won't show you the actual Kohinoor, they'll just show you the reflection. They don't show you the actual stone. So that is also so concealed, they know it. So what is supposed to be concealed, it will look well if it's concealed. What is supposed to be revealed, it will look well when it's revealed. So what is concealed, leave it concealed. Leave it. Abhimu ma abhamahullah. What Allah Pak has concealed, leave it like that. Don't you try to expose that thing. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدَى. What's going to happen the next day, nobody knows. You want to earn, you want to incur loss, you want to gain some profit, anything. Like look at those people in the stock exchange. Yeah? They full of anxiety. Looking at the computer, coming up, going down. Full of anxiety, right? You don't find them absolutely settled, calm people. Full of anxiety. What's happening? What's happening? How is going up? Bulls and the bears going up and down. How is it? Who's taking the shots? Who died? Mandela died. What happened? What's going to happen now? So they're living in anxiety, virtual anxiety they're living in. So what's going to happen tomorrow? Anything, any market going to crash? Or any market going to come up? Nobody knows. And when the thing crashes, then you think, hey, why did I invest into that? And when it goes up, they say, hey, I should have invested in this, man. I had an inkling that this thing was going to go up, but I don't know why I didn't do it. So that knowledge is not conclusive. Nobody knows about it. What's going to happen tomorrow? Man was healthy. Now suddenly the doctors discovered that he's got cancer. On the fourth degree. Now, he didn't have a clue about it. Suddenly they just picked it up. Oh, he's got TB, he's got typhoid, he's got this. No sign, no symptom, absolutely. Everything was clear. And then, he was strong and built, and now he's reduced to skeleton. From where to where? What a mighty person he was, and now see how sickly he's gone. So you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. What are you going to earn? What's going to happen to you? Nobody knows. وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسُمْ مَاذَا تَكْسِيبُ غَدَى. وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرَضٍ تَمُوتُ. And where you're going to die, nobody knows. How long you're going to live, where you're going to die, how you're going to die, what are going to be the causes of your death, nobody knows. So this whole mystery is teaching you. What is teaching us? It's teaching by be in the state of readiness. Allah Ta'ala wants to be kind to us. So in his kindness, in his love, he's not showing you those dates. Right? But then on your side, you need to understand that this is his kindness. When it is his kindness, then you play your part of the deal. Your part of the deal is remain ready. Don't remain in a state of negligence. Don't remain in a state of you're not cared. This is what Allah doesn't like. You're not even cared, not bothered. So he doesn't like this. You be ready for this moment. As you're progressing in age now, 15, 16, 17, 18, now my books of deeds have opened out and everything is being recorded. لَا يُغَادِرُ صَغِيرَةً وَلَا كَبِيرَةً. Everything, it'll record every small and big deed. Everything is recorded. Now, this was for us to come into the state of readiness. Now, we take this as an entertainment and we don't get into a state of readiness. I say, is that right? So this Khalifa Mansur, he asked, Abu Hanifa rahmatullah told him, see, this refers to these five knowledges that are exclusive with Allah Pak. Even Malakul Maut doesn't know. Imagine he is the angel appointed to take your soul. But precisely when you're going to die, he doesn't know. He only gets to know around the time that he has to pluck out your soul. That day, Mullah Ibrahim read that article. You know, the encounter with death. Right? Because everybody is going to encounter death. Nobody can escape that. But what will make it easy? What will make that encounter make it pleasant, enjoyable, right? You're looking forward to this journey, looking forward to the trip. So what will make it pleasant? So he read a hadith there that Malakul Maut makes a special note of those people that are regular on their salah, timelessly, properly, correctly. They are doing their namazes correctly, properly, timelessly, right? On time, they're not delaying, they're not cutting corners in the namaz, then Malakul Maut he's instructed that you take their souls also gently. Calmly and gently you take the souls. So one easy way, easy security plan. You know, for everything we want a security plan. You don't have a hospital plan and motor car plan. So one is death plan. So the death plan is get your namaz right. See it on time, timelessly, coming on good time, making wuzu in good time. So this is a death plan. One hadith, it speaks about Rabat. Rabat is to guard the frontiers of an Islamic country, right? The borders of an Islamic country, you're guarding that, that's called a Rabat. So the reward for that Rabat is tremendous, tremendous. I don't think I've seen in the hadith any reward as great as guarding the Islamic borders. Right? So the reward is so tremendous. Some of the rewards that I know offhand, for one day that you are guarding the Islamic border, you get an entire month's reward of fasting and qiyam, of fasting and ibadat. Like you fasted and you made ibadat throughout that day. So 1 month, that's in Bukhari Sharif. But in other kitabs, they've got it, not just one month, approximately 100 years. And if one day and 100 years of continuous ibadat and continuous fasting, under one, right? Number two is, he saved from min futtan al-qabr, in other words, the difficulties and the trials of the grave he saved. See, security plan. You got your security plan for the grave, clean. Right? Death, you got it right, you got your security plan for the death. You got your security plan for the grave, right? So you wanted one for the death, one plan you wanted for the grave also. Now you got no problem in the grave, no problem at the time of death, right? Number three, the hadith is saying, وَأُجْرِيَ عَلَيْهِ رِزْقُهُ. His rosy also flows, he carries on. He is getting some special provision, real provision, even after death. Number four, you know, you get other acts of sawab jariya. So Allama Qurtubi shows the difference, right? One is you're doing an act for which there is a recurring reward, right? But the nature of this rabat is different. Because the nature of a recurring reward, he says, is until the thing is functional. Like the well is functional, you're getting the reward. That well dries up, your reward dries up. But this person that is looking after the rabat, his reward is continuous, irrespective. Whatever happens, but he is every day the same reward is recurring. So look at, and you know, you're looking at an investment. That investment is like a blue chip. More than a blue chip. Blue chip can fail. When we say blue chip investment. What they call blue chip. So you got such an investment, it's continuing. It doesn't come to an end. So this is for guarding the Islamic border. But the hadith says that intizarus salah ba'da salah. Intizarus salah ba'da salah. You're longing for the next namaz. One namaz ended now, you're longing, you're yearning to meet the next namaz, waiting for the next namaz. Right? Namaz finished now, and you're longing. One is you, in the masjid, you're longing to go out. Here you're longing to get in, waiting for the namaz. Right. So the hadith says, فَذَٰلِكُمُ الرَّبَاتِ. This is Rabat. Now, Allama Qurtubi says, inshallah, we hope in the mercy of Allah Ta'ala, that person that has got this, that is longing to, his longing is waiting for the next namaz, is longing to get the next namaz, he will get the sawab of that Rabat. Same way, Rabat. But what an easy business. Eh? You're longing for the next namaz. Just waiting. One namaz is finished and waiting for the next namaz. So as though you got your qabr security, you got your death security. You win security plans, isn't it? But can't we invest in this? Anybody stopping us? We know it's a fact. Death is a fact. Qabr is a fact, right? And we have to get into the Qabr. We have to encounter death. And we want it to go smooth. So it's a security plan. For your death, there's a security. For your Qabr, there's a security. فَذَٰلِكُمُ الرَّبَاطِ Hadith says thrice that intizaru salah ba'd salah kathratul khuta ila al-masajid, right? And the third thing also, what is the third thing? Isbaghul wudu, doing the wudu properly. All are related. Isbaghul wudu ala al-makari, right? And kathratul khuta, intizaru salati ba'd salah. So longing for the namaz, yearning for the namaz, that you'll do your wudu correctly, right? You'll wait for the time. I'm going to get into the house of Allah Ta'ala again. You finish Isha, you're waiting for Fajr. When can I go back? So as though the masjid has become like your home. You're like the pig of the masjid. So in you being taking care of the house of Allah Ta'ala, when you need Allah Pak, He is there for you. That was the most crucial time. You needed Allah Pak. So you took care of His masjid, of His house. When you took care of His house, He's taking care of you. See how the reward is working. You took care of Him, so He's taking care of you. Special care. Special care. You know how you got, the airport, you got a diner's card. So you got getting a special treatment. Everybody else is there running around in Dubai airport, 8 hours wait now, getting frustrated with it, waiting there, all the crowd. You got a diner's card, and you got an exclusive right to go to a lounge and rest nicely, comfortably, whilst everybody else is going helter-skelter. So as though you got that special card, when you looked after that namaz, in other words, you're yearning, you're longing for that namaz, so you got the special right, special privilege, you're a privileged passenger. وَانْتِزَارُ الصَّلَاةِ بَعْدَ الصَّلَاةِ So one thing that is required to get this death right is get your namaz right. Get it on time, do it properly, correctly, proper wuzu, longing. And the second thing that Mona read that day, to get a good death, right? To get a good death, in other words, to always remain in good company. People whose beliefs are good, their thinking is good, they're righteous, they Allah wala, they have got a special relationship with Allah Ta'ala. Their greater concern is Allah Ta'ala, their greater concern is deen. So to be in that company all the time. Right? As much as far as you can, those people that are good, thinking good, behaving good, working good, understanding good, and the greater concern, the greatest concern is Allah Ta'ala and the Akhirat. That's the greatest concern. So when that's the greatest concern, then you will die with the people that you like. Al-mar'u ma'aman ahabba. You'll die with them, you'll live, you'll get up with them. So that article read that when you're dying also, you die so smoothly, if you are befriending evil people, right? Wrong people, any type of person just talks anything, not worried about his deen, not worried about the statement that he blurts out, he's not worried about Allah Ta'ala, his Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then these are the type of people that come to you at the time of your death. So they will appear to you when they are wrong, they will prompt you towards doing wrong things. Right? That is why there was that incident that he read there. That person is about dying. And as he's dying, so he says to the people around that pour one cup of wine for me and one for you. One for me and one for you. So he's been joining the wrong, then he had wrong tendencies. At the time of his death, this is what he's talking about. Pour one wine, one cup for me, one for you. But you're joining the right type of people, right people. So at the time that you need them most, they're appearing to you. When they're appearing before you, they're prompting you to say the right thing. See, Kalimah now. So he's your friend now. And you had a deep friendship for him. So he's prompting you. Allah makes it appear such that those people appear and they prompt you to do the right thing at that time. So this company, companionship, don't count it as a small thing, insignificant thing. It's about the greatest favor that anybody can be blessed. Right company. This whole Surah Fatiha, it's about the most dynamic and comprehensive surah in the entire Quran. But it's ending up with the right company. Sirat al-Ladina an'amta alayhim. This journey to Jannat, you can't do it yourself. You need some good company to encourage you, motivate you. Right? When you're down, they bring you up. Right? And you're moving, they're motivating you to go more, to go further. So they're encouraging you right through. They're not leaving you. So you need that encouragement all the time. But if you've got a good company, good companionship you've got, they're encouraging you all the time. You're doing something haram and they discourage you. But don't go to this place here. It's not the right thing to do. Right things, they encourage you. And wrong things, they discourage you. That's called a true friend. But he's calling you towards wrong. That's not a friendship. That is for his own matlab he's calling you. But he's encouraging you to the right and discouraging you from the wrong. That's a true friend. So, Sirat al-Ladina an'amta alayhim. غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. Right? But on this journey, you want righteous people to take you to Jannat. Right? They must lead you, they must hold you by the forelock. The friendship is so thick, that they won't just leave you. They'll say, no, you just come with us. That must be the type of friendship that they're pulling you towards good. But you don't want those robbers to plunder you. You don't want them to rob you. Those hijackers, so غير المغضوب عليهم, that robbers, that hijackers, those kidnappers, you don't want them to kidnap you and hijack you, mislead you, mislay you from the path. See that? See this dua. صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب. You're going to get this. When you come to this planet Earth, you're going to get all types. You're going to get those that will encourage you to righteousness, and you'll get those that will mislead you, that will hijack you from the path. They will kidnap you from the path, they will rob you, they will mislay you, right? They will move you off. They're going to get both these people. So Allah, keep us in the right people. We can't be ourselves, we can't manage to go. So we need an encouragement, we need a support, we need someone, we need a backup support we need. So Allah, right till we reach you, we need this support. And we don't need these people that will hijack, that will mislay us, that will turn us away from you, will corrupt our minds, will confuse and complicate our thinking. We don't need this type of people. We're doing right now, now suddenly this person comes and complicates and he confuses, he creates a confusion in your mind. So we don't want these people. They actually hide the hijackers of the road. They are the robbers of the road. So we don't need these people. Allah, keep us away from this. So now these are the two things that you require for the security plan for death. The death must go well. So this type of people will come and they will prompt you to do the right thing. And inshallah, they'll hold you by your hand and usher you right to the right place that you want to be. What a beautiful plan. You know? What a beautiful, you can't get a better plan. Motorcab plan, they will still hold, they still keep you on hold, you know. Coming, making an assessment and all that. Now you need a car, they can't give you a car straight away. They're still working it out, what is the extent of the damage, whether it's your fault or the other person's fault. They keep you waiting. Yes, straight away you death and you got that plan already. And it's an eternal plan for your qabr and for your death. So can't we invest in these two? Get our namaz right and get our company right. One easy way to get this is whilst we namaz, then when the imam staff comes to ihdina sirat al-mustaqim, sirat al-ladhina an'amta alayhim, ghayril maghdubi, then just cry from your heart, Allah, please keep us in the right company. You know, wherever we're going, Allah, keep us in the right company and protect us from the wrong company. There's so much of wrong, Allah. So can't we just, like, as though we are crying and pleading to Allah, keep us in the right company until we reach Jannat. Until we reach you, keep us in the right company and protect us from the wrong company. Allah, tawfiq nasib.